Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant.
I'm the co-host, Jacob.
What up, man?
What's going on?
Hey, I see you just barely kind of hiding that Carolina Panthers hoodie. You still rocking that?
Oh, absolutely, man. 1-5, but we beat the Raiders. We're not the worst team in the NFL.
There you go. Hey, so I got to show you what I'm rocking, though. Okay, let me see if you can see this right here.
I think it's appropriate. But see, you make cheesesteaks weird, and I can't wait to talk about how weird you make your cheesesteaks.
We got a lot to talk about tonight as it relates to our next stop on the road trip. So without further ado, let's bring on our next guest. What up, Ed?
What's going on,
Ed? What's up, y'all? Hey, man. So we had an argument last week. I don't know if you saw the episode, but I used to work at a cheesesteak place. I was a manager for a couple years, and we had a lot of different ways that we made cheesesteaks. All right. So
there's only one way to make a cheesesteak.
Well, you know.
you work at a cheesesteak place where?
In Colorado. Oh,
that no. Says everything.
That's not even.
But hold on. It was started by two guys from Philly.
Okay. And then they let people all over make the cheesesteaks. So that just tainted the cheesesteaks.
So they went out to Denver. They went out to Colorado. They started a cheesesteak place called Taste of Philly is what it was called. We had our basic. Our basic menu where you can get mushrooms, onions. Mushrooms? If you want them, both of them. Yeah, you don't put mushrooms on a cheesesteak?
You know what go on a cheesesteak? Mayonnaise, salt, pepper, ketchup, fried onions. Anything outside of that is not a cheesesteak.
Did you just say ketchup?
Mayonnaise.
Yeah. Ketchup. Oh, yeah, you got to put ketchup.
You said salt, ketchup? Pepper.
Yes, mayonnaise, salt, pepper, ketchup, fried onions. That is a cheesesteak. That is a cheesesteak.
Hey, but how about it? Okay, but you ever had a Philly hoagie?
Yes, the cheesesteak hoagie.
Yeah, with lettuce, tomato, yeah. Mayonnaise, ketchup.
Yes, I'm not a fan of that. I had them a lot when I was a young boy, but not really that much as I got older. But they were like back in the day. They usually toast the bun too when you have it like that.
Got you. So the other thing. Hey, so the other thing I brought up last week though but here's the thing, Jacob, he don't count because he literally only eats chicken tenders and that's it. So
like
we can't talk.
We can go that route if you want to go there.
You're eating chicken tenders.
Well, first of all, if they screw chicken tenders up, you don't want to eat anything else from that place.
I normally don't order chicken tenders on purpose. It's like, okay, so y'all don't make anything else, I'll get chicken tenders. It's crazy. Eating chicken tenders on purpose is crazy.
No, there's other ways for you to say that you're wrong. I understand. We'll just keep rolling though.
All right, so all right, so I know Ed knows all about it, but Jacob, I'm gonna let you know behind the scenes, okay? We have this big flat top grill. All right, we put the veggies down, whatever veggies you want, whether it's just the onions, the basic, mushrooms, onions, peppers is the works. Something like that. Okay, you put the veggies down, you let them cook a little bit. Throw the steak on. All right, now this was the secret menu. It wasn't on the menu, but it was something that one of the owners, showed to me one time. They said, you got to try it. Try it one time. We're not doing it all the time or nothing like that. You grab a big, like chunk of cream cheese, and you throw it on top of everything that's cooked.
Thank you. Thank you. His look says everything. You don't put cream cheese on cheesesteaks.
Ed, have you ever heard of that?
No, that's some out of town shit. Like you get to do cheesesteaks any kind of way out of town because y'all don't know.
No.
So like Ed, he's in Colorado, it's like I can do whatever I want to do.
That's not out of town stuff. That's white people stuff.
No.
The berries and the potato salad.
Right. He had to be white.
Hey, but hold on. Hold on. Do you consider someone that's Italian white?
Yes, they're white.
Yes.
Way closer to the white side than the black side. Yes.
They got a little tan to them, though.
They do have a little tan, but he's going to pass for white 10 times out of 10.
Oh, man. Okay. But I don't even know what you're talking about with the potato salad and all that.
You've never heard of people putting, I've never had it and I've never done it, first of all. But there's people who will put berries and nuts and all sorts of different things in potato salad. I think it's okay.
Yeah, we had this discussion at one of the tournaments, and a bunch of people was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I looked at Jacob like, well, I don't know what's going on. I've never even heard, it's terrible.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not a potato salad fan, but definitely not with all of that stuff in there. That's mm-mm. crazy.
Mm-mm. No, I agree.
All right, let me ask you another thing, Ed. I know we're here to talk about flag football, but we could talk about food for just a little bit longer. I worked in another place called Fat Shack. You ever heard of fat sandwiches?
No.
Okay, so you get the roll, you get cheesesteak as the base layer. Then on top of the cheesesteak, you put appetizers. So it's either jalapeno poppers, onion rings, french fries, mozzarella sticks, any of those, and then you pick the sauce. So some people put honey mustard, some people put like buffalo ranch, the different kinds of sauces. Put it all together, wrap it up. It's called a fat sandwich.
No, that's too much shit going on for me.
Did you ever use mozzarella sticks? I don't fundamentally agree with this, but only thing you named was poppers. So you did?
Jalapeno poppers, onion rings, french fries, mozzarella sticks, mac and cheese bites. All of those were options.
Mac and cheese bites might have me. I'm not going to lie.
So the one with it, now let me get – I know I got you with this one, Jacob. So the one with mac and cheese bites was cheesesteak on the bottom, chicken tenders, mac and cheese bites, and buffalo ranch on top.
All right, guys. So if you guys could just subscribe, and share, this is great having you guys on. See, that's all we're gonna do is just go after chicken tendies. I'm trying to save the world from bad food, and here you guys are like, "Oh, Jacob beats the kids' meal."
That's too much going on the sandwich for me. Like, way too much. That's crazy.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, they were. The owners, they same thing. They were from New York.
They came out to New York. That's a New York style.
They went out to Colorado. They started out there, but they were on Shark Tank, and Mark Cuban bought like 10% of their company. So they're all over the place now. Yeah, but anyway, so Ed, the next question I have for you before we get into flag football, is there anything that you can't use the word John to describe something?
it's unlimited. Literally. it means so much. Good John, a good John and a bad John can mean a bunch of stuff. Women, food, a place. You know what I mean?
Did you leave that with women?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if she look good, oh, she a bad John. But if
Well, wait. You just said that could be too. So if she looks good, she's a bad joint.
She's a bad joint.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And if she, okay, but listen, but, on the flip side, if she dirty, be like, oh no, that's a bad joint. She's a bad joint. You know what I mean? It's really like how you say it. You know what I mean? It's how you say it in the hand motion. Yeah, like how you say it in the face. So it, like you like this, like oh that's yo that's a good joint. You feel me? That means it's a good joint.
Right, so we're flipping hands, we're pointing.
Yes,
we're...
It's a lot that go into it. You just gotta you gotta know. It's like that kind of thing. Right, you just gotta know.
I don't know what Jacob just did with his hands, but that was weird.
I'm just trying to get the John down.
Yeah, it's unlimited. It's unlimited.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get right into this, John. All right. So, Ed, let me just ask you for your origin story. What got you into flag football? What has brought you to where you are at today?
So I started in, no old jokes, 2001 when I graduated high school. I started looking to play flag, started looking for like leagues and stuff. In 2001, though, it wasn't really like, it was really like a like fall only. So like they only played flag like from like September to like December. And other than that, it wouldn't be any leagues. So I played, we would only play, eight man used to be really big out here. Eight man rough touch was like the real big thing back then. But that league was like crazy because it always had like 20, 30 teams. And like you would start practicing in like, it was like NFL. It was like you start practicing in like June and you would start in like July. And then the season would start in like August and you'd play to like, probably around like Christmas. The season used to be like low end 10 games, but on more like, you know, like 12 to 14 games, not including playoffs. So like you used to play like deep into the winter. And then around like 2010, I got tired of playing like once a year and I started looking for like little flag leagues to try to play in, like the sport and social leagues. Like those leagues that kind of like guard you a lot, but you don't really get anything other than playing and meeting people, but it's not really that competitive because it's like a sport and social type of league. And then I got tired of putting my money up and putting money in and winning that and not getting anything. Like some of those leagues was like, especially like indoor, they like $1,200, $1,300. And then you win a championship, you take a picture, you never see the picture, and then it, all right, the next season start next week. You don't get a discount, you don't get no money back, you don't get nothing. And that shit got old to me. So after playing for so long, I had built so many relationships. I just was like, I'm going to just do my own thing. And then one of my best friends, we had like a real heated rivalry. And we had like a championship game. We beat them and he called me. He was Italian. So I get what you're saying, like is Italian black or white? Because he was like, you know what I mean? White dude, but he was real cool with the black guys. Like them Italian boys is different. Especially an Italian boy from Philly. They different.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're a little different.
Hey, so I'm Italian from Crenshaw, man. It's a little different, you know?
It's different. So he called me and said, yo, fuck this. You gotta do your own thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, we're not giving him no more money. You can do this and get paid for it versus us giving him all this money. And I'm like, oh, you doing all this because y'all lost? Of course I had to rub it in. And then he was like, nah, just it's ridiculous. Like, just start your own thing. Like, just make your price point and all that, and then I'll sign up. And then, so that's how I ended up starting the league. Like, I just started because he kind of, like, was like, we don't need to pay them to do this. Like, you do it, and everybody will play in your league. So, like, I started my league. It was, like 2015 spring was our first league. And I did a couple tournaments in, like, 2014, like, Thanksgiving 2014. Then I did a couple other tournaments in between. Then I started the league, and then I actually went backwards, though, because when I started, I was like, I don't want to do leagues because leagues are so time consuming. I just wanted to do the tournaments. But, you know, like in 2014, 2015, it wasn't like that heavy on Facebook and stuff. So it was like harder to get teams, reach teams. Now you really can put a flyer up online and you can reach people from all over. You know what I mean? It's not like as boosted to the ground as it used to be back in the day. So I just started then, and then around like 2020, Brandon, that played for quarterback for Supreme, he's like, yo, you got to kind of get in the five-man. And I was like, yo, I hate five-man. Like, I hate it. But 5 men here, like locally, is like they play like 10-yard end zones. The field is like 40 yards wide and like 80 yards long. It's the most ridiculous thing you ever see in your life. I hated it. But then I went out to FFWTC, and their 5-man is like, I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, this is nothing like that local stuff that we do. Because the local style here is for, no disrespect, like fat older players and shit. Because why else would you have a 10-yard rush line and the field be 100 yards long? Because they wanted, and a 7-count to throw the ball, because they want everybody to feel like included. But I can't play that. Like, it's terrible to me. But so I basically, like, now when I run stuff, I try to run stuff for the players that like to travel. But Philly's so local that we so like lukewarm to it. So it's like we run tournaments around here a lot, and it's just like they just flop a lot. You know what I mean? Like, we just don't really get a lot of good tournaments around here because people just don't like the national styles. We have so many local people that want to play the local styles that are relevant to national style. You know what I mean? It's like just always hard to throw a tournament. So, you know, so I just got into it strictly because I hate it. I got tired of paying people. Like, I got tired of paying. I'm indoor $1,100-$1,200. And it's like, we didn't get a trophy. We didn't get a medal. We got a picture that was never on their website. And that was it. Like, that's what you used to get when you win. Or you get them $20, $30 trophies. And I know how much they cost because my mom used to work at a trophy shop. And she used to do them for me in the basement. when I started, that was my end. Like, she would bring home all the materials because she worked there. And I would, like, hand out the trophies. Trophies used to be as tall as the ceiling. They used to be going crazy. I'm like, that shit was free from the basement. With a bunch of shit. Like, they used to go crazy over those trophies. I'd be like, yo, that trophy was free. But, you know, but so that's basically, I basically started just for my love of flag. It wasn't for money or anything. I just got tired of paying other people to do what I knew I could do. And, you know, like, they don't put no effort in the stuff. Like, them sport and social leagues is like, I play in some of them. Like, now, just to, like, some days I just go out there and play. I played a bunch of games with one referee, which is, I don't even know how you're charging $85 per person. It's 10 teams out here. You do the math. 10 teams out here, 14, 16 people on each team, and there's one referee. What? Like, it's like, I just got tired of, like, that kind of stuff. So that's how I ended up starting my own shit.
So when did you start refereeing?
So what I did was, when I kind of had the idea that I was going to start my own stuff, I start refereeing for that sport and social league. And I start, like, kind of recruiting teams. Like, hey, listen, I'm starting my own thing. Here you go. So, and I was kind of like cool with a bunch of players from before that. So I just started with the sport and social league. And I, of course, I was out there like, oh, y'all out here and y'all suck. So I know how to do this. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, y'all not doing anything. Like, I at least know football. So, you know, I know I can do this. So I started rough, kind of seeing how they, you know, ran their stuff. I went and did my own thing. And then they banned me from the league and told the commissioner, if I show up to anything, call the cops. Wow, bar cops on a little black guy. What am I gonna do? But yeah, that's how I got into playing. Yeah, that's how I, you know, it was just like a natural love for it. And then I just started doing leagues and tournaments, and then I started traveling. Then, you know, when you see travel flag, it's way different than local flag. It's like, oh, what the hell is this? You know, especially at least for Philly. Like, it made, like, Carolinas is like, y'all heavy with, like, y'all local style is 5-contact, which is a national style. So, you know what I mean? You know how it go. When you go from not playing any of those styles to going to only worlds, like, you playing against people that have been doing this all year. Like, they know what they're doing. So when we went out there, we started playing 5-contact, 9-contact. We wasn't even hiking the ball from the ground, like between our legs. Like, we were doing the stand up, throw the ball back shit. We were so late to everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was a joke. Mm. And it's like, so when I start running stuff, I just start running stuff closer to travel style. So when we go out of town, it's not as foreign as it, you know, as it used to be.
Right.
Yeah, man. It's funny because what you're describing sounds like exactly like the Colorado flag football scene. And same kind of thing. Like, we're just so behind, no national rule formats, and so we would travel, and we would play a team from Texas or Florida, and they got national rules 7 days a week they're playing.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? You don't have a chance at all. That's real similar to that for sure.
Even the teams that's not good, like when you play that style all the time, you just add up more of an advantage than people that don't know, you know what I mean, what they're doing. Like, we play 7-on-7 contact here. That's not even a thing anywhere else. You know what I mean? So it's like the closest thing to it is, I would guess, is fives, but the stuff that work in fives don't work in sevens. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So it's not, it's kind of similar, but not really.
So what would you say for you, Loke, like, what would you say the biggest reason for leagues, like local leagues and stuff, not wanting to push towards a national format? Like, what's the reason behind that?
I think it's because we know, like, you know how hard it is to get a team to travel. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. especially 8-9, man. Like, it's getting 16, 20 people to go somewhere is crazy. We play fives, and getting 8 is a lot. You know what I mean? Getting 8 people to travel is a lot. So people are like, all right, well, I don't travel, so what's the point of me playing a travel style that I don't really like? Like, people don't really like the travel style here. You know what I mean? They'd rather play on the bigger field so they can do goofy shit like score 33 touchdowns in a 12-game season when the field is as big as an NFL field, you playing 5-on-5. It's goofy. To us people that play national style, is goofy. But to local people, that they just want their stats and they want their videos and shit like that. They don't care about, like, you know, competing at a high level or competing against out of town guys. They don't really care. So I don't know that we'll ever warm up to it simply because they don't have a reason to.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I remember looking at scoreboards in like an indoor arena, and the score would be like 85-7.
Yeah.
But that same team would go to Vegas the next month and they'd go 0-9.
Yes, yeah. That's the way it worked. Because that when you playing on them indoor fields and stuff, like the rules are ridiculous. Like a 7 count, you can't rush, you can't do this, you can't do that. The first down is like 20 yards. It's like the midfield is 20 yards. It's like everything's just phony. So it's like, and then you're playing against like weirdos. You're not really playing against like, you know what I'm saying? Like a rec team from the Carolinas is probably better than, in five contact, is probably better than what you're going to see on a high level up here. But just because, like, you know, they play it all the time. And then, you know, like if Bex plus one is the, you know, the measuring stick, it take you a while to get up there. But you.
Not to ant, but yeah.
But yeah, it's, but like, yeah, you know, support. When you're behind the 8-ball, it's just hard to get caught up with other people. So you just be like, all right, well, I'm not going out of town losing by 30. Like, I'll just stick to the local stuff where I know I can compete.
Do you feel like you fight against the grain by doing that, by keeping national rules as your league's rules?
Yeah, like. So for the most part, like I said, when I try to run fives, we don't really get a lot of teams. Like, we may struggle to get like 6. Like, we just don't get teams. When we do 7 man, it's like, you know, in this area, I have all like the best players in our area. So we always behind because nobody want to compete. You know that. People don't want to compete, period. Like, and flag in general too. You know what I mean? Like, I think. When I first got on the scene in 2020, I thought national style was fun. Like, now I see so many people like, damn, they would have never played together 4 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, when I got on the scene, it was like that Florida versus Texas shit was real. You know what I mean? And it's like Texas had a bunch of teams. They competed. Florida had a bunch of teams. And now it's like, you know, I don't see Corey Webb with a Texas team almost ever now. You know what I mean? He played with more Florida Bulls than anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, but they don't have any teams anymore. You know what I mean? Like, Texas don't really have that many teams. So it's not like, you know, he ducking wreck. It's just like, you know, like they don't have teams. Like, it shifted so fast. Like, the shift was like, damn, it went from just everything being competitive to just like everybody just like, all right, like, we all just gonna go play over there. I just think it's weird when I see somebody super skilled sitting on the bench for YTG. Like, it's odd to me.
Yeah, I know, like, we had George and Pat on a while back, and they were talking about how you know, they talked about how kind of like things are watered down now, where you can win a national championship like 10 times in a year because they're everywhere. And, you know, but at the same time, one of the biggest things is it used to be like Miami versus Dallas.
Yes.
And, you know, you would go to a tournament and you knew if you were from Miami, you were playing, you were going to go against Tampa. You were going to go against Orlando. You were going to go against Dallas. And it's so different now. I mean, you know, it's the same kind of thing bringing back to what I experienced coming from Colorado. We would go to a tournament, and if we went to Texas, all those teams would just mush together by the championship game. And it wasn't like we could pick anybody up.
Right.
So we were taking on where, like, back in the day, it was different. You know, you really represented where you were from, whatever state you were from.
Right. Yeah, it's not really like that now. It's just like everything's all over the place. I hate it. I ain't gonna lie. I hate it. I want people to go back to picking sides and sticking to it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if things went back that way?
It would make the casual. So, like, I feel – and another thing I feel like casual – like, tournaments are just so, like – they're just so bad now. Like, they're – like, I thought San Diego was, like – it not organizationally, like, it ran well, but competition-wise, that was one of the worst tournaments I've ever seen in my life. Like, there was no competition in San Diego. It was no comp there. Like, it was just
as many teams as that were there.
Yes. Like, I went out there. I was like, the vibes is low. The competition was low. Like, it ran well, but it was like, damn, this is – like, when I first went out, it was like, you know, like, Arlington was like the one for me. Like, Arlington was like – that tournament was, like, always, like, competitive. I'm talking about comp was competitive. Like, you know, rec wasn't – the greatest, but it was a couple teams in rec that went at it. It was like every level was competitive, of course, pro being pro, but like, and then pro is like pro, five non-contact pro is my favorite. That's my favorite style. Like, to me, that's where all the athletes and the big dogs play. Even like watching some of the games now is like, oh, this is like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think Worlds in January was that competitive to me. It just was like, it was like, whatever. Like, it was a couple games that was like decent, but it wasn't like, to me, it wasn't like that crazy. Definitely not like a few years ago.
Yeah.
How do you think it could go back to that?
I think the hardest thing, I think, is less top end quarterbacks now. You know what I mean? I don't feel like if you got to name five really good five non-contact quarterbacks, and the talent is not. The talent is not as spread out as it used to be either. You know what I mean? When you got the top people, like you got, you know, Mark, Hoosh, Velt, Pablo. When you got all of them on one team, you basically taking away from the whole tournament. You know what I mean? Like you, because they're all on one team. Now, that's a good team. It's good to watch, but it's hard to, you know, be competitive when all those dudes is on one team now. You know what I mean? It's like, it's tough, you know what I mean? Like, and when you're not really competing all year long, it's like, I don't even know what was the best tournament I've been to this year. Like, I can't even tell you, like, which one I went to. Like, oh, this was really good. Like, they said Nashville was good. I heard Nashville was pretty competitive. Yeah, I heard Nashville. Mm-hmm. But outside of Nashville, I didn't really hear anything. Like, San Antonio, they said it wasn't really like that.
East Coast Nationals, I thought was really good, too.
Yeah, I agree. East Coast Nationals.
Yeah, I thought East Coast. I hate Richmond. My fault. East Coast Nationals is decent. I hate Richmond. I'm not even gonna lie. Like that place is like, I hate Richmond. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I hate Richmond. Like, I hate that place. And then it was like cold and rainy that weekend, so it kind of like took
started.
It was bad. It was like, all right, I already don't like it. Like, one year I went to East Coast Nationals, it was like 90 the whole weekend. It was great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, all right, I like this. This year it was like cloudy the whole weekend. Off and on.
Raining.
You know what I mean? It was chilly. Like, by the time we played Air It Out, it felt like it dropped 10 degrees every hour. By the time we lost, I was just like, oh, I just want to go home. I just want to go and put some clothes on. It's cold as hell out here. Like, we made it to the semis, and it felt like it took us all night to get to the semis. And it was just like, I'm ready to get up out of here.
Jacob, what do you think? Is there a way to kind of get things back to how they used to be as far as flag goes?
It will never happen, but the short answer is you take the money out of the game. if you take the money out of the game and you make it where it's just you're playing for t-shirts and banners and stuff like that, you know, I think you'll see some of those lines draw back, but I don't think you'll see a ton of them.
I feel like that was another thing. When I first got on the scene, I asked just a general question like, yo, why don't nobody play for money? And me, all of my teams play, we normally play like, we won't play pro. I try to stay away from rec, but we try to play like whatever's under pro. They have like a bunch of divisions now. So like when we go to Worlds this year, we play in Elite. So we don't play the highest level, but I feel like pro is the only division that should get paid. Like, but I feel like those athletes are so good. I feel like they should play for money. Like whatever the pot is whatever, but I feel like they should play for money. I don't think that you should take the money out simply because you realistically can't say, yo, it's 1,200 teams out here and they should be playing for shirts and rings and banners. That's what I don't like.
Fair.
Yeah. I just feel like they should play for something. But when I first got on the scene and I said that, I made a post in 2020 on my old Facebook. They lit me up when I said, well, why don't they play for money? They were like, oh, Nationals is not about money. It's about the competition. And I was like, it's 400 teams out here. You mean to tell me that the winners of the highest level can't take $2,000 home? Oh, we're not here for that. That's what local tournaments are for. And I'm like, well, so now y'all sound crazy. A local tournament that has a third, not even a third of the teams need to pay out as much money as they can. You're going to hold 8 feet to the fire to pay thousands of dollars. But these people that got 400 teams out here, you mean to tell me they shouldn't be playing for nothing? That just sounds crazy to me. So I don't think that we should take the money out. But at the same time, I think no matter what we do, it'll never go back. Like, it'll probably just get worse, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Unless people want to go back to competing.
But I mean, like, I agree. I agree that you don't take the money out. I think that's it's become a standard. It's become the norm. And to be honest with you, the league, like Camel City, we've never not played for money.
Right.
We've always played for money since 2018. However, if you want it to go back to where people play for loyalty, they play for who their guys are, they or you know girls or whatever. That's how you do it. You know, I think that's just the base of it. Is it actually ever going to happen? No. But I think that's where you would get it back to people being more loyal to each other.
Well, question. So say they took the money out. Do you think people would not sign up for Worlds if they did take the money out?
If there wasn't a competing organization that would immediately jump on it and triple whatever the prize money is,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think if you take that aspect out of it, you say that there is just the one organization and they were to do that, they adjust the price points to match where there's no, you know, no prize or whatever.
Right.
Perfect world. I think you still have majority of people sign up. Maybe not initially because there's going to be a shock factor to it and people aren't going to be happy about it. And this is just me completely speculating. There'd be a shock factor. You'd have some people not sign up. People would see what it was and let others go and kind of be the trial, be the guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Once they see that it's okay, you know, I think you start seeing people come back.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, but Jacob hates my analogy on this, but I feel like, okay, all right, the pro division, Ed, I agree with you. The pro division should be getting the money, but they should be held to a higher standard. Like, I don't think they should be allowed to deflate their football completely if they're in the pro division.
And dog, we've had this argument.
No, listen, Ed, just... you want some super referee shit with that one. You gotta put your cape on with that one. You can put your cape on. You want some super ref shit with that one.
Oh, man.
But the deflated football. Listen, you want to know what my biggest pet peeve is? That colored football, because it used to just be white, now it's pink, red. That should be banned from pro. Ban that football.
Ban. Why?
Because no grown man should be running around with that. Women and children. No grown man should be playing with that football. Like, none. First of all, it's not a football. I don't even know what it is. What is it? Like, you have a car.
It's rugby. It's rugby.
It's so nasty. It's nasty. And listen, that football ruined flag. Do you hear me? With the... All these people that can't really catch turned into one hand catches. And what is the common denominator in all those highlights? A bullshit football. I hate it. In our A league here, they already know. Don't bring it out. I will tell them. I will throw your ball on the roof. Don't bring that ball on my field. They already know. Don't bring that ball out here. You cannot play with that football in our A league. You cannot play with it. They already know.
That's no different than deflating a leather ball, though.
The leather football is an actual football, though. The whole deflating thing is like, you got that. I'm so used to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so used to that. I don't get into it. But that deflating the football shit is crazy. But I'm never going really be like, oh, no, you can't. You got to play with a certain, what is it, PSI? I'm not going that far. I'm not going that far.
I feel you. Well, all right. Well, let's move on to something else. I know you kind of mentioned in your origin story, officiating, playing, being a director. I've been in a tournament where you both officiated and played. So I just want to hear about how you balance those roles now that you are kind of, you know, you have all these hats that you wear.
So I try not to ref really. The only thing I really I'll ref, like, because people are flaky. So sometimes I get stuck refing. Like, you know, I'll sign up 8 refs to ref, and then I've had people do the weirdest shit, like, oh, you didn't tell me at the time, so I didn't show up. And I'm like, you didn't see the schedule on the site? All right. So sometimes I don't go to the field to ref, and I get stuck with refing. When I plan my events now, I never put myself on a ref schedule. I never try to ref. If a league play, I will ref because, you know, I don't have anything else to do. I don't really play that much league play here because we play so much contact and I'm not getting hit. So fuck that. Like, I like to look at it, but I'm not. Nobody's hitting me. That's not. Like, you're not bodying me up to pull no flag. My days of that shit. So I'll ref, but and when I run tournaments, I just try to I try to just be a director. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of like, you know, delegating now. I hired a director. When I want to play, I'll let her run the tournament. And if anything, she needs to. She runs shit pretty smooth when I'm not there. She does a really great job. I try not to do all. My days of that shit is over too. When I first started, it was just me. Like, my son started coming out and helping, and you know, I always say he kind of run the league because I run everything by him. He 20 now, but when he first came out, he was like 14, 15. But I used to do everything by myself. I used to get to the field. I used to line the field by myself. I used to set the cones up. I used to ref. I used to do the point differentials and shit. Thank God I ran in the Zorts this year. I used to have to do all that shit on I used to have like a notepad that did it automatically. So when I put the scores in, it would do it for like a spreadsheet, but it was just an app. But I did it by hand when I first started years ago. I did it by hand. But yeah, I used to get to the field early, find the field, set the field up, run the tournament, referee the tournament, clean up the field, unpack all of this shit. I used to do everything by myself. So, you know, I get me having help now is a plus, but I never shied away from doing the work. You know what I mean? When it was just me, mm-hmm. But I now don't try to do that now. I try to get as much help as I can. I don't care who I got to pay. I just like a peace of mind now.
Definitely. I've been there because that's how I am. I've got a partner that makes life so much easier.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So now let me ask you this. So when you're running your league, you don't play at all?
No, I'll play. If we play 5 non-contact, I'll play. Because that's like that's my team's main style. And that's like the only style I like to play. But anything else, I don't play nothing else. Nah,
So if you're running 5 non-contact and you have 5 non-contact in your league and you're playing, how do you balance? I know you, if let's just say let's people still know, like, hey, Ed, this is still part of Ed's,
right?
Do you ever struggle with, you know, while you're playing, trying to make the right decision and how to navigate through making the right decision versus making it look like, you know, something's in your favor or, you know, any kind of favoritism or anything like that?
Oh, no, 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 no. So they know I'm straight up and down no matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing. I made my team forfeit Sunday. I had a player. He was acting ridiculous. I said, oh, the game is over. And they probably thought I was joking. And I was like, no, he fucking ridiculous. He's fucking the whole league up. The game is over. And the team's like, well, just let him go home. And I said, yo, listen, if it was another team and somebody was acting like that, I'd make y'all forfeit. I forfeited the game and I had to pay the ref fee. So it's like, you know, I had to pay the forfeit ref fee. So it's like when people see you do shit like that, they never question me because I'm the same guy all the time. If we get to the game late, so in my league, if you get to the game late, if you like call me, yo, we got players coming. If I start the game late for you, you don't get the ball. You don't like you start on defense for the first half and second half. You don't get any timeouts. I do the same shit for my team. And I cuss them out like I cuss the other teams out. Like, yo, listen, like y'all fucking around. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, and it looked worse when it's my team. Y'all getting out the car when y'all want to get out the car. So I don't treat anybody any different. I'll make us forfeit. Like, I keep everything the same. So it's like nobody ever, like, look at it like I'm cheating. And I also, like, I care more about the product than my team, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, but unfortunately. If a ref make a bad call, I'll stop the game. Like, listen, that's not. Especially when we doing fives, because like my thing is that our league play prepares us, our referees, for when the out of town teams come in to play in tournaments. Right. So if y'all don't have an understanding of the rules on a Sunday when 30 teams from other places is here, we just gonna look bad. So it's like I need you to get this right here today. You know what I mean? So it's like I'll stop a game. Like, listen, no, like, you know, most refs don't know if you call a timeout on a conversion, it don't start until the other team starts on offense going the other way. I'll stop the game and make sure they understand that. You know what I mean? So, and I hate reminding people of this, but, you know, my refs don't travel as much as I do. So they're not on, like, they're not as on the rules as I am. But I just keep everything the same. And then when you do that, people respect you and they don't, you know, they don't really question me.
That's good. Definitely.
Okay. So let me just back you up a little bit here. So you're on offense, your team's on offense, you're on the field. And a ref makes a bad call. You haven't had the defense ever be upset at you for stopping the game and trying to help the official?
Oh, no. I don't get in that. No. I'll make – if they need a – if they ask about, like, a rule, like, what's the – if they ask for clarification on a rule.
Oh, okay.
But I don't change no calls. I'm not in that.
I got you.
And my thing with my team is don't talk to the refs. They don't know what the fuck they doing no way. That's how I felt that about refs since – 2001, the referee, let them referees go. To me, like Edward Barnes, the refs are there to keep the score, keep the time, and tell me what down it is. Anything we get from them is a plus because I already know, like, bro, it's recreational sports. Like, these, like, you don't meet that many good refs. Like, I feel like the worst thing in the world with the flag world is people put too much into these refs. Like, bro, if you go make plays and you go get stops, you normally win games. People really, like, will get out the car and ask me who reffing. I'm like, you didn't get out the bid with that shit, did you? You paid an entry fee to ask me who's reffing? No, to me, that's crazy. It's crazy to me. Like, it's crazy. Like, you're worried about who's reffing and shit. Now, if a ref don't know a rule or a ref mess up a score, like, all right, I get it. But to be worried about, like, you know, who's reffing and all that, I don't get into the referees and shit. Especially when you're playing rec. You're not getting no good referees in rec. Bro, you're not getting no good refs in rec, bro. Like, you're not getting no.
Ed, you always tell me you're the best rec referee I've got.
Yes, keep me over there. I deal with so much shit in Philly. When I'm out of town, put me back there with them, please. Put me back there with those guys. Like, please. I deal with so much shit when I'm here. I don't want no parts of that serious shit out of town. Like, I'm out of here. Please put me with the rec boys. Please. Please.
Oh, man. Hey, man, that reminds me about when we were in, where were we at? Santa Clarita. And you and me did the Women's Contact Championship together. And, man, you be chilling, man.
A lot of times I'd be like, yo, y'all could stop trying me. Like, y'all could just, y'all ain't got to try me out here. Like, just, you wasting your time.
Hey,
you
man, know what I mean? Yeah. Steve Harvey did a great job working together that weekend.
Oh, my God, that guy. You see what I'm saying? Listen, when I tell you this guy didn't do the play clock and he was on the line, he didn't do the play clock the whole tournament, and I counted because I started getting so annoyed at the count. I asked him 7 times in one day to do the play clock. He never did the play clock. He didn't do the play clock one time. So, like, you know, in pool play is whatever. But, you know, like, when it gets to those close games and it get to under 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and the team is trying to get the ball back. And
time matters.
They run 2 plays, and it's like 1 minute warning. And he's like, wait, how? It just was 5 minutes. How did they run all that? And Steve Harvey, he not doing nothing. He's like, Steve Harvey, keep killing me. And listen, and this is the one that's going to send you over. The next day, right? The next day, we did 5-on-5 contact. Our first game at 9 o'clock. Do you know how when you hike the ball and 5-9 contact, if they don't rush, you get the 5 count? And 5 contact, he started doing the count and then blew the play dead. Almost ran off the field. Listen, when I tell you I lost it. Do you want to know why? Because they threw a touchdown, and in mid-air, it's nobody back there, just the receiver. They throw the ball. He go to catch the ball. Referee blow the whistle dead. He said, that's a 5 count. I said, what did he just do? The other team is losing it. They losing it. I said, listen. I said, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We did 15 games yesterday. He looked like Steve Harvey. Just cut him some slack. Look like he's supposed to be on TV. Just leave him alone. In my mind, I'm like, I'm like, Jacob, you did it again. Like, I text Jacob the night before. I said, I don't care what you do on the schedule. Don't give me Steve Harvey again. Do you know what happened when I got to that field? I seen that. I said, who I'm with? He kind of smirked and looked the other way. I said, I can't believe it. I said, I had one request for you. Don't give me that guy again. And what do? He go out there and do a 5 count and 5 contact on a touchdown play. Do you hear me? On a touchdown play. Yo, it was the worst. But this is what I'm saying, bro. This is what I'm saying. I don't expect nothing from them referees but to know the score. What down is it? What's the time? That's it. That's all I expect, especially when it's people like Steve Harvey. And I feel like when I text Jacob and say, yo, can you do me a favor? Just don't give me this guy. I feel like he's like, oh, I got something for you. You definitely getting that guy.
Oh, man. I don't know about Jacob, but I'll tell you this right now. He might not admit to it, but whenever anybody makes a request, he does the exact opposite.
I believe it. And that's a lot. Dealing with somebody for 15 games that didn't do no play clock.
That's tough.
What? Tough, not the word. It's crazy. It's mind boggling. And then it was one of those weekends we was light, so it was a 2-man crew. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know how, like, 5-9 contact, you the 7-yard rush line, is only 2 of y'all. You probably got to get back there. Oh, bro, between that and dealing with him, and he kept smiling. I'm like, yo, stop smiling. Like, listen, back here. He's 70 years old. He can only do a line of scrimmage. You know what I'm saying?
70 years old.
It was a burnout. That's what you call a bad John. That was a bad John.
That was a bad John.
Yes, that was a bad John. I was mad at him.
He was smiling because he didn't have to worry about the play clock.
Oh, like, yeah, he right, was killing man. Me.
He was having the best time of his life.
He really was. He really was. Like, you know, like, and then, you know, like, some of the refs really be out there to just chill. Like, I've ref with some refs, like, oh, this, he don't have a clue. Like, all right, I see what I'm dealing with. You know what I mean? Like, I see what type of day it's gonna be. The ref that's like walking around in a circle and shit. I'm like, yo, get your rush line. He like walking around the circle kicking the dirt. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yo, I be seeing some shit at them tournaments. So I when people go online and they do all that referee chatter, in my mind, I be like, I get it. Like, I get it. Cause I'll be on the field with some folks.
Man. All right. Jacob, I'm going to go off script a little bit. And I want to keep you in this conversation. So, I don't know if you saw that Oregon Ohio State game, how the last bit finished, where the Oregon coach put a 12th man on the field. on purpose?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, so there was, Jacob, there was like 10 seconds left, right?
Well, I was going to say we're under 30 seconds. Yeah. Ohio State took the ball back over. Their first play was from like the 40, I think. And Oregon ran, they ran a player on at the last second, gave up like 5 yards, but took, I think it was like 10, I think you're right, it was like 10 seconds. They took 5 or 6 seconds off the clock with the play. And they accepted the penalty. It was like it's a 5 yard penalty for a freaking 6 second, you know, to get 6 seconds off the clock.
Mm.
So the argument came in is they just found a loophole to the rule. So, and do you want to keep going from there?
Yeah. So basically, what we just found out today is that the NCAA changed the rule and got rid of that loophole. And so basically, if someone does that on purpose and that 12th man affects the rule, then the offense can – they can get the time back on the clock. So it's funny because just last week when we were in Harrisburg, Sonia mentioned that in some of her local leagues, the youth leagues will just change their rules like mid-season. And so, depending on something that happens, they'll go back and they'll be like, okay, we didn't like this. We're going to just change a rule. Well, apparently it happens at the college level, too. Do you think that that's something that should be happening where a league has the ability to just change a rule in the middle of a season?
So I've had that. And I just told teams, like, I know it sucks, but we can't change anything like that midseason. You know what I mean? I don't – you can't do that. That's how I feel, like, not midseason. Yeah. You can't – but I get why they did it, though, because if it's on national TV and a team see that once, you're going to have to deal with that 100 times on Saturdays for the rest of the year. So I get why they did it. For a local league's not playing for millions of dollars. So I don't think that they should do shit like that. I know of people here. It's a league that my team, one of the Philly teams, they went out to Jersey, they played. And the Philly teams always got a target on our back because we talk so much shit to people. When we go to New Jersey and all these other places, people already, like, you know, they already got some shit like against us. So they changed the rule mid-play in the championship. So they play – only in Philly, we play fumbles are live, right? Because I like to keep shit close to football. So we play fumbles are live, right? We just like to play football. So what he did was they started – the offense started with the ball at, like, the three-yard line, right? Center snaps the ball. The ball hits the ground. So it's supposed to be a safety. He said that in the championship, he said that because it's an advantage, an unfair advantage for the defense, he's changing that. So it's no longer a safety. They get to redo the snap. And I feel like when you're playing for money and you've been playing that way all day long, you can't do no shit like that. Like, you cannot do that. And a snap is not a rule. A snap is like, that's a player physically snapping the ball. Like, that's not – if you can't snap the ball, what you doing out there? We've all seen bad snaps happen in the worst times. Like, I've made bad snaps, so I don't think, like, in the middle of a game you can change it. But for the NCAA, when you're talking about billions of dollars being, like, on the line, I feel like you got to change that because that's just going to make – it's kind of like when – do you remember when – I think it's – what's his name? Pickett from Pittsburgh when he did the fake slide?
Oh, yeah, and they
changed changed that Monday. Like, you can no longer fake slide. You know what I mean? Because you can't do that fake slide because you get, like, when they get themselves up, now the defender can't do anything. He fake slide, run it down. You can't have that. So it's like, in instances like that, like, I get why you got to change the rule.
But so Kenny Pickett's situation with the fake slide, that was a player safety thing. We all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how adding a 12th man, obviously it's, we know what it is. It is a penalty. It's absolutely wrong. And it's giving an advantage to whoever has it. But it's not a player safety thing. So I get that it's a detriment to the game. I understand the rule change, and I'm fine with it. What I'm not fine with it is it happening in the season where you've just allowed a team to win a game off of it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're coming back and saying, okay, and this isn't like, you know, Louisiana Tech and Idaho State. This is two top five teams in the country that just affected the national rankings. Potentially affects the college playoff seedings.
You know what that reminds me of? You know how in flag, if somebody deliberately goes offside, we give them the unsportsmanlike, not the five. You know how, like, if they're short of the first down and they go offsides, we'd be like, yo, if you decline it once, if you do it again, they get the 10 yards instead of the normal five and automatic first. You know how, like, that's a rule. I've learned that from, like, playing rec. But is that, like, I guess on the night of, though, when that happened, could they have just, like, all right, well, it's a loophole, but we're just going to give them the time back and then give them the penalty? Say if they would have went about it that way. Like, do you think people would have been as outraged?
I think it would have been twice as outraged because it's not what's in the rule book. And it wasn't in the rule book at the time. If you would have put the time back on the clock, you would have had a bigger issue.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I think you have to leave it. You have, obviously, like, there's nothing that's going to change right now, but I think you have to leave it open for the remainder of the season because it's what's occurred. It's what you started with. You know, the NFL doesn't change rules mid-season because
they don't.
You know, they don't change rules because somebody, you know, figures something out.
But the NFL kind of like had their rule book so sewed up. I don't think you can pull no shit like that in the NFL.
Wouldn't you argue that the NCAA should have their rule book sewed up like that as well?
They do, but the NCAA is like a scam of an organization, so they're not as honored as the NFL.
That's true.
Yeah, the NFL they're completely a scam. They're outraged that these kids are getting paid after y'all done made hundreds of billions off these kids for the last 100 years. And like now kids are getting paid. It's like they act like it's the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
I just think that you bring up the example of, like, why didn't, you know, could they have done it that night? I feel like in that situation, the only reason that really the NCAA even kind of recognized it was like, oh, this coach did it on purpose, is because he was literally in a press conference and basically said, like, insinuated, like, yeah, this is what I did. You think about it, those officials on the field, all they're doing is they see a 12th man, they count it, they throw their flag out, and they play it out. So it's not even like, I don't even know if in the moment somebody could have been like, oh, look, you know, he did this on purpose. We got to change this right now. You know what I mean? Like, even if somebody up in the booth, how are they going to recognize that and be like, because then it's intent, right? Then you're saying the intent of the coach was to do this on purpose. It gets, you know.
Cool question. I thought 12 men on the field is a pre-snap penalty.
For offense, it is. You can't break the huddle with 12. On defense, you can have 12 on the field all the way up until the ball snap.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's to me, you're, I don't know, you're catering to, because I guarantee you, Ryan Day and whoever the athletic director for Ohio State and all of them, they went and flipped their lid over that. Because, I mean, at the end of that put them out, that puts them out of the conference championship unless something crazy happens in the next few weeks. And it's going to make them have to get an at-large spot for one of the playoff spots this year. So they're not going to be one of the top four. So I think they, you know, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. And I think that it's, you know, for as established as an organization it is, it's a very it doesn't look good at all. It's not a good look.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're scammy, so they don't. You know what I mean? Like it don't. It's right on par with their brand. They're scammy as fuck.
Yeah. It's got a real big issue with the NCAA.
They scammy. Us, you know what I mean? Their whole thing of like how they used to make players transfer and sit a year, like but the coaches can leave mid-season, right after the season. If another school calls and want to give them double the pay, like you got the kid, you go into the kid's home, you know, sitting with the mom and the grandmom, and you got them, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to, hey, you do this, 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 this. And then Alabama calls because Nick Saban leaves. And now, you know, you done spew lies until this whole family dynamic. And then, like, you go off and do what you want to do. But if I transfer, I got to sit a year. Like, the NCAA is just itself is just, like, it's ridiculous. That's why it's so upside down now with the whole transfer portal. And I don't really like the transfer portal. Like, I don't really – they need to have some type of hold on that. To me, that is just a little bit wild, too. Like, it's a lot. But it's, like, overall, though, it's messed up now because they didn't fix anything for as long as it was out of control. Like, it was so bad for so long. Now it's just, you know, it's going haywire because they just never did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, man. Well, I just, you know, it's about that time. I just want to tell you, I appreciate you coming on and you know, representing Philly for us and teaching us about the real quick, 5-man non-contact. It's a fumble of life.
No. And
oh, okay.
The USA flag styles, we keep those. Keep those. No, we play our style here. We play is 7-on-7 contact. We play like live. It's kind of like a mix of like 9-man with like 2 less players. We play like live sidelines. You can fumble. You can strip.
Trash.
You can. We don't. Only thing I don't allow really is crackback blocks and any hits below the knee. I don't play shit like that. And grabbing anybody around the neck. I don't play like the safety shit. But. Everything else, we play football. You know what I mean? Like, you can get ran over. Yeah. Like, I hate that in fake contact football. You'll tell somebody to body up 30 times. You can run through me and pull a flag. But if I lower my shoulder, they act like it's an issue. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. You can't call it contact, and then the offensive player can only get ran through if he's trying to run the ball and advance the ball. Like, it's goofy to me. It's goofy. It don't even make sense. It's almost as dumb as them saying that you can't dive to score, like, because they say that's a quote unquote safety issue. So you can't dive to score, but you can dive for a flag. Can we? Well, like, what are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about? Like, it's so much stupid shit with, like, people in their room. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. Like, I'm literally doing the same motion where I'm lunging, and when you're playing on them with them little ass cones. So how hurt are you going to be? And diving is that's a personal choice. Like my old ass. I'm reaching to pull a flag. I miss it. You know what I mean? I missed it. I'm never diving for a first down, a flag, my kids falling off the table, nothing. I'm not diving at all. I'm not diving. That's me. You know what I mean? I'm not diving.
Hey, man, that's a personal – diving's a personal choice. Just like putting cream cheese on your cheesesteak is a personal choice, man. No, you know what I mean?
So what that is criminal. You feel me?
Thank you.
Thank Jesus Christ. I've never heard of it to the day.
Oh, man. You gotta try it. I'm just saying, try it once.
I'm not.
Try it once.
I'm not. Thank you.
It's a type of cheese, man.
No, yeah, so I'm not doing
Gouda,
it.
Gouda, that on a Philly.
No, right. Gouda cheese on a cheesesteak is like, come on, what are you doing? Like, it's really just American. It's just really supposed to be American.
I feel you. I got you. I know. I get it. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And please, you know, now that you've been on the show, please take the time to, you know, subscribe on our YouTube channel and spread the word. And just so more people, you know, can check us out. But you have a good night, Ed. And we'll see you soon, man.
All right, y'all. Be safe.
Be good, Ed.
All right.
I mean, I don't think I'm wrong. I think cream cheese is cool, but whatever.
No, I think your cream cheese goes on bagels.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I didn't know he was going to get so upset at the NCAA. He got really fired up.
Look, man, that's a button for him. I think it's just because he can't get NCAA 25 on his PS3. So he's, you know, right. I get it. I'd be frustrated too, but you know, to each their own.
That's a bad John, man. That's a bad John.
Some bad John. Bad John.
Hey man, so you know, I know we got you got travel plans, you got a lot going on. We are on our road trip, but I want to just give you a moment for some final thoughts.
Nah, man, you know, we got Orlando coming up this weekend. It's really turned into a big youth event. You know, our youth teams are, our high school girls are trying the new sevens format USA Flag has. I'm really excited to see how that works out for them. And then it's going to be a big fives tournament this weekend for youth as well. We've got our adult teams, our usual suspects that are going to be there, and you know, it'll be a good time. I'm pretty excited for that. So looking forward to it. We'll see what happens and, you know, be able to report back when we get together next week.
Yes, sir. So just something, you know, I want to speak on. I know we weren't able to talk about instant replay, but we'll cover that next week. But one thing I do want to cover is, you know, I was watching some leagues out in California this past weekend. They had their playoffs and their championship, and there was a key moment where a really good player ended up getting thrown out of the game because of how he was speaking to the official. He was speaking to the official, and he got one. He continued, and he ended up getting too unsportsmanlike, getting thrown out of the game. So the only thing that I will say, I know I do challenge, I kind of put challenges to pro players a lot, you know, those kind of things. This will be my challenge to officials out there. Be willing to throw your flag. If you are getting spoken to in a way that feels disrespectful towards you, if you're getting cussed at, if you're getting called out of your name, do not be afraid to throw your flag. Because you can set the trend. You can begin the process of having players change their mindset that it's okay. Because I know when I first got into flag football in Colorado, every official was getting just constantly cussed at, talked down to. The disrespect was so bad. And I just feel like even, you know, on a national level, everywhere you go, there are – yeah, there's just a mindset. There's a culture around the fact that, like, oh, okay, they got stripes on. We can talk to them however we want. But officials got to do their part as well. We got to be willing to say, okay, at the start of the game, I do it before at the coin toss. I say, this is my coin toss. I'm talking to both captains. This is your unsportsmanlike warning right here. Let's keep it about football. You know, you guys want to ask me questions. You guys want clarification, we can do that. But the moment you start cussing at me, talking down to me, being disrespectful, the flag is going to come out. It's going to be 15 yards. Second one, you're out of the game. I try to set that standard right away because it's a lot easier to do it a coin toss before the game has started instead of doing it with 1 minute left in the championship.
Yep. Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
Use the tools that you have, make it worthwhile and make your thoughts and your expectations known. If teams know what you're going to put up with and what you're not going to put up with, if they don't know, they're going to test the limits. They're going to see what they can get away with. And then when one person says one thing and, you know, when things start to unravel and things get out of control and you're trying to backpedal, they're immediately going to lunge to the fact that you didn't say something earlier. So to Ant's point, set the tone immediately, let them know what your expectations are. And let the game ride and staying true to your expectations. I see a lot of people who will, you know, talk a big game and from the beginning and say, yeah, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. And then you get out there and it's like a three-ring circus. So take control, be the person you say you're going to be and rock and roll, you know, just have a good time, do the best you can and good things will happen.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Well, I know you're going to be traveling to Orlando. I'm gonna hit the road, and then I guess you're going to fly to our next location. Is that what we're doing?
Yep, that's what we'll do. We'll meet up next week. I'll hop down there real quick, and I'll fly right back. Don't worry.
There we go. All right. Well,
ticket book. We're good to go.
Oh, man. I'm nervous for you already.
Hey, brother. It'll be good. It'll be good to go. I'm excited.
There we go. All right, man. Well, just to everyone out there, please like, subscribe, follow. We are on YouTube. This was a fun one, and this is worth watching on YouTube with Ed from Philly. This is a good John, I guess. It would be the best way to put it.
This is a real good John.
I don't know about all the way up here, man.
Look, I'm working on it, okay? Like, you got, there's got to be a little bit of grace for me to get this down, but I'll get it.
All right, fair enough. We are on every platform you can listen to podcasts. And then most of all, we got all of our content on a daily basis, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Twitter, TikTok. We are all over the place. So we appreciate everyone going on this road trip with us. It's been a lot of fun. And I feel like we're learning a lot about every different region so far. And we've only made 4 stops. So yep. I'm excited for what's next.
Me too. Y'all have a good night. Be good.
All right.